From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. Independent Al Grossman has won the Democratic Alaska U.S. Senate primary. He will advance to challenge Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan in this fall's general election. Sullivan was unopposed in his primary on Tuesday. Gross was endorsed by state Democratic Party and fended off by Democrat Edgar Blanchford and Chris Cummings, also an independent. Sullivan says the stakes for the general election, quote, couldn't be higher for our state and country. And Don Young and Elise Galvin will face off once again in the race to be Alaska's sole representative in the U.S. House. Young, the House's longest ever serving Republican, won GOP primary on Tuesday, his first step in an effort to win a 25th term. Elise Galvin, a nonpartisan candidate, won the Democratic primary with the party's backing. She lost to Young in the 2018 general election. Young's campaign manager says the congressman is grateful for the opportunity to continue to represent Alaskans. Galvin attributed part of her win to getting back in the race, telling the Associated Press she thinks Alaskans like, quote, grit. And school will soon be starting up part-time, and in Petersburg, that means some parents are looking for childcare to fill in the gaps. But what do they do when many local daycares are full? As KFSK's Angela Denning reports, some concerned residents have come together to identify families in need of childcare and how to help them get by.
For parents who work but cannot work from home, part-time school for children can be a dire situation, say volunteers trying to help local families. Heather Kahn is the liaison of the group. She also happens to be the principal of the local elementary school.
The school, for the most part, in previous years, has taken a good chunk of a child's day from 8 to 3 o'clock, and parents haven't always relied on childcare programs to supplement that.
Childcare needs are changing for some families this year with the part-time school schedule. Kahn says through school surveys, the volunteer group has identified at least 8 children in need of new childcare and 16 adults who need help paying for it.
To add on top of what we're already experiencing for COVID, but to add another expense to them, it could be a do or die situation for them. It could mean, are we putting food on our table tonight? Or are we paying for our child's childcare?
The Petersburg Community Foundation is facilitating the group's meetings. Joni Johnson is the foundation's program manager, and she says they're trying to raise awareness in the community.
We're trying to increase communication and figure out what needs are. You know, it's really important that the entire community is aware of this.
There are several layers to the pandemic that are affecting childcare. Some parents have employers who have helped them find work-at-home solutions to the changing school schedule. But for others, it can be more complicated.
I think as a parent, too, it's hard to express your need for support with your kids in your workplace.
Katie Holmland is another concerned community member in the childcare group. She wears a lot of hats. She's with the elementary school's Partners in Education. She's on the district's school board, and she's a teacher with the after-school program, Kinderskog.
Getting this message out there will hopefully make some people realize that they're not, like, alone in this whole situation.
There are currently 3 local childcare centers that serve school-age children from kindergarten through 5th grade. Petersburg Children's Center's Eagle's Nest program, Kinderskog, and Serendipity Academy. The Academy is a new full-time daycare for school-aged kids located downstairs in the Lutheran Church. Director Michaelyn Coyle says they are still working out schedules for children depending on their need. Holmland says Serendipity's new Academy should help alleviate some of the childcare needs.
Super thankful that that program is running now because it is another great spot for kids to be going so they're not just by themselves at home or wandering around Petersburg with all of the bears alone.
Combined, the 3 childcare centers have about 60 slots for kids. Some of the programs are already full. However, Kahn still encourages parents to add their children to the wait lists because those lists are constantly changing.
The Children's Center, Serendipity, and Kinderskog are working closely with parents and making those contacts. I'm sure if you've put your name on the list, you are on that list for them to contact. So no need to panic as we say the word full.
Another curveball for some parents this fall is that the local Head Start preschool which usually cares for about 20 children ages 3 to 5, is learning only through December. The school hopes to start distance school for those students on September 22nd. Besides helping families find childcare, the volunteer group is also seeking to help families financially. The group intends to ask the Petersburg Borough for $50,000 of federal CARES Act funding it received and distribute the money to needy families through credits for childcare. Petersburg Mental Health Services and Partners in Education are both going after grants for the group as well. Johnson says now that they have started to identify the kids who need childcare and what capacity is at the local centers, the next step is community outreach.
Outreach to churches, to, you know, encourage families to co-op, as many different resources as we can pull to bear to support these families with younger kids, the better off we are.
Besides the individuals volunteering and the daycares involved, the childcare group also includes Petersburg Mental Health Services and the SHARE Coalition. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And in other news, three staff members at the Ketchikan Indian Community Health Clinic have tested positive for COVID-19. That's according to a joint statement from local emergency response officials and the federally recognized tribe Tuesday evening. KIC has closed its health clinic, including its dental practice, through Wednesday for disinfection. Patients with scheduled appointments are either being rescheduled or given telehealth appointments. Ketchikan Indian Community says it plans to test everyone that works at its clinic and administration building before they return to work. It's not immediately clear how many people that entails. It's also not clear what prompted the three individuals to be tested, nor what roles they perform at the clinic. Messages left with the Ketchikan Indian Community were not immediately returned on Tuesday evening. Some 48 Ketchikan residents and visitors have tested positive since the pandemic began, but all five have recovered. Officials haven't reported any deaths from COVID-19 in Ketchikan. Free COVID-19 tests are available in Ketchikan for anyone with minor symptoms of the disease. And there's more information about this on Ketchikan's hotline. That's 247-TEST. And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, mostly cloudy and lows around 50, but it's beautiful outside, so get outside if you can. And on Thursday, rain showers are likely and highs in the mid-60s. For Friday, there's a chance of rain showers and highs in the mid-60s. You're listening to KTOO. For more information, you can always visit our website. That's ktoo.org.